Hello and welcome to the True Blue. Breaking news, Eric. It is no longer the True Blue LA podcast.
What?
I have sold the naming rights. We are now the TrueBlueLA.com baseball show.
All right. You know, it could have been worse. You know, we could have sold the naming rights to a scam, like a certain basketball arena. But yeah, and hockey arena and concert,
etc. Just don't call it a center anymore.
That's true. Yeah, it's an arena.
In doing so, maybe we can sign our own free agents, as we know the Dodgers hope to do so. But if not, maybe you and I can sign Chris Taylor.
Wait a minute.
We're swimming in the TrueBlueLA.com money now.
We should open up a Patreon and then use that money to sign Chris Taylor to the podcast.
I mean, he's so multi-position. He can just don't let Craig know. It's questions from CT. What do you think of surfing? So we've got a, but you know what? Until that happens, we do have five questions from Craig. I think we have a Dodgers rewind. We do. I just checked the notes. We're going to guess where the free agents are going to go, talk a little bit about the offseason so far, the offseason ahead, all of that after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Speaking of breaking news, we had an amuse-bouche of the off season earlier last week.
Is that okay? Is that what an amuse-bouche is?
What do you
like
mean?
Like an appetizer.
It's a pre.
Or
it's
like
the
breakfast.
First. It's a little bite that you get to start off a fancy meal.
I like you know, this may shock people. I'm not one for fancy dinners. I think I've not realized exactly what that term meant this whole time.
And well, there you go.
Maybe I had a different idea.
This is an All educational right. show.
It is. So the Dodgers just coming out hot in the hot stove within, 2 days? A couple days of the free agents being able to sign in other places, they signed Andrew Haney, a former Dodger, one of the great old friends in history. Because
and like not anymore. Now he's like a real old friend,
right? He's a current friend. So he was part of the Andrew Friedman Farhan Zaidi first off season in that winter meetings where they just went buck wild and sort of reshaped stuff. And they had the big trade with the Marlins, that brought over, Kike and, Austin Barnes and everyone's favorite Chris Hatcher. And then D Gordon went to, and Dan Heron and stuff went to Miami, but Andrew Haney came in that deal. But then, the way it was reported, like it all sort of came together at the end, but then they traded Haney to the Angels for Howie Kendrick. And then Haney has been with the Angels until this year when he was traded to the Yankees. But yeah, so like I just remember when they announced it was two separate trades. Haney like at the time tweeted, "Will always enjoy my time as a Dodger." He really leaned into it, so that in my eyes made him one of the greatest old friends ever. And but now he's current friend. So they signed him 1 year, $8.5 million. He has some good like sort of underlying stuff. He had a high strikeout rate, especially with the Angels. He wasn't as good with the Yankees, but overall, like he had a 5.83 ERA, his 4.85 FIP. Pretty bad. His career is like a 90 ERA plus, 4.72 ERA, 4.45 FIP, kind of ordinary. He has a high fastball spin rate. He has a high chase rate. Not completely analogous, but that's sort of like almost like a right hand. Or no, he's also left handed. It's almost Alex Vesia like, but as a starter. And we saw what the Dodgers did with him. So he was excited. Haney was, he was one of the earliest signs, but also it was because he was one of the earliest free agents. Rather than being a free agent at the day after the World Series, like most, he was actually sent outright off the Yankees roster the day of the wild card game because he wasn't on the roster. They added a couple people who were off, and he was a roster casualty. And so he, as a veteran, he had the right to decline the outright assignment. So he became a free agent on October 5th, about 4 weeks before everyone else. So he used that time to meet with teams, and he met with a lot of teams. And he said on the Dodgers Zoom, there were like 7-8 people on the call, Friedman, Dave Roberts, Mark Pryor, and more. And they really had a plan of like what they wanted to do, how they could make him better, that kind of stuff. And he was really excited with that. And this is what he had to say.
I think having a team that has a very clear idea of who I am, what I can do, and how I can achieve that, and being able to work in tandem and have a really good partnership was something that was really important to me. I know that I'm much better than my numbers say I was last year. And I think it was really exciting and eye-opening to see, I mean, frankly, not just the Dodgers, but how many other teams felt the same way. But at the same time, I wanted to really have a good partnership with whatever team I signed with a team that believed in what I can be and had a process in place to help me get there.
So, you know, MLB, like free agents generally, weren't allowed to sign with a new team until November 7th. Haney signed with the Dodgers officially November 10th. So that's sort of how he was there. And so he got his head start. Now, his idea was wanting to work the whole offseason, with a team. There's also the pending CBA stuff. So sort of getting whatever he could now into his sort of offseason plan. I think that factored into it, and you know, everyone's sort of the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, they haven't, you know, Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer, free agent, they signed Andrew Haney, it's not a direct replacement, like, they need a lot of innings. We saw last year they started the season with 8 starting pitchers and ended up with 3, who were all hurt at the end, and so, like... So they need as many people to fill in these as possible, and I think he's sort of on that back end. But yeah, so that's where it is. So we actually have a hot stove. It's simmering, I guess, a little bit.
Delicious. Yeah. I'm dropping the metaphors. I can't keep this up.
So I guess the other stuff, like just the sort of since we recorded. Joe Kelly's option got declined. That was pretty much expected, although, I don't know, it was an $8 million decision. He had a $12 million option. They paid him a $4 million buyout. So it's still possible they bring him back, you know, who knows. But so he's a free agent. That gives the Dodgers like 12 free agents. They submitted extended a qualifying offer to Corey Seager and Chris Taylor, but not Clayton Kershaw. The not Kershaw part was a surprise. I mean, it's hard to like figure out exactly like what's going on there. I don't know. It seems like the Dodgers have made it very clear that they want Kershaw to return. I just also think they realize that it's, you know, this started, I think, last offseason when Jorge Castillo, the LA Times, visited Kershaw at home, and he sort of raised the possibility of like them figuring out what to do as a family. Like their kids are young, going to be, you know, starting school, and Kershaw wanting to be, you know, spending more time with them. And the thing is, it's hard to do during a baseball season, no matter where you pitch. But like the sort of rumor that's been bandied about is like the hometown Rangers. But the thing is, they're terrible. And like Kershaw is like an intense competitor. He said multiple times he doesn't want to retire. So I think it's just a matter of them figuring out what he wants to do. And so this is what Andrew Friedman said. At the GM meetings in Carlsbad. This is from, I'll link to it in the show notes, but Fabian Ardaya at The Athletic sort of recapped a little bit of that. This is Friedman. I think just with our respect for him and what he's done for the organization, that wasn't something we wanted to do and put him on that kind of a clock when he wasn't ready for it. So I think he's just figuring out what he and his family want to do. I still think the most likely scenario is Kershaw returning to the Dodgers, but it's really like they're just sort of letting him have the space and time to do it. So it was a little odd, but I think also, you know, obviously there's the elbow situation with him, with not like, you know, he's having like PRP injections, but also like you don't really know what you're going to get next year. So, like, I guess from a risk standpoint, like, it really doesn't, like, matter, like, because he's sort of, like, keep him no matter what. But, like, imagine you could see where the Dodgers might be coming from. What if Kershaw accepts the qualifying offer and then can't really pitch much next year? So that you're paying, it's like, well, so he's also Kershaw. Like, you have to keep him. So I don't know if I buy that part of it. But it was a weird decision when mm-hmm. it came down. But yeah, so the Dodgers have 12 free agents. We're going to focus on 8 with apologies to Steven Souza and some others. We're going to focus on the big ones. I sort of recapped like the rankings and some various contract predictions for several of these. Most of them are in line, some of them are all over the place, but we're gonna pick destinations and contracts for Clayton Kershaw, Corey Seager, Kenley Jansen, Chris Taylor, Max Scherzer, Albert Pujols, Joe Kelly, and Corey Knebel. Are you ready to do so?
Yeah, let's go. Where do you want to start?
You can go first, but let's just go down the line. Let's start with the franchise, as it were, Clayton Kershaw.
So there's two directions you can go, right? You can either say he signs the sort of reverse Wakefield situation where he just does 1 year until he's ready to go, or they just commit to him long term. Relatively long term. I think I'm gonna go long term, maybe with some player options thrown in, but I'll treat those like opt outs and say,
yeah. So just for purposes of the contest, we're going to count guaranteed years as the contract, right?
But, so that's why I'll say. I'll say instead of a player option, it's an opt out. But same thing, giving Kershaw some agency on if he did want to go home at some point, and I will say 4 years. Thinking. 4 years, 100.
And with who?
Come on now, friend. I'm not. I will never not predict the Dodgers signing Kershaw.
Okay, so 4 and 100. I also think Kershaw will stay with the Dodgers. I'm gonna go, and I figure it's either Dodgers or Marlins. I think they could probably work something out in the it's hard to figure, right? Like there's some, yeah, you don't,
we did this really last year, I think, before any of these. Maybe MLB Trade Rumors was up, but other than that, I don't think any of the other predictions were up, and we were so off. So I'm happy I get to have a little bit of a cheat sheet this year, making sure that I'm not completely out of base.
I think, like, you could see a situation where there's, like, part of it, like, the uncertainty of this year, like, eats into it a little bit. So I think I'm going to say 3 and 57.
Okay.
Okay. So next up is Seager. So should I go first on this one?
Sure. And just so, I'll go ahead and just cue. You're closer to ESPN. I'm closer to Fangraphs, for what it's worth.
Damn it!
Okay. Neither of us near Jim Bowden, would you believe?
Yeah, he's a special special character. So on, I looked. There's a lot of rankings that I looked up. Not everyone has contract predictions, but everyone has Seager second to Carlos Correa in terms of the like free agent rankings, except the aforementioned Jim Bowden, who has Seager first. But and then all of them like think long contract. Like I think the smallest contract is 7 years. The Fangraphs crowdsource had 7/196 for Seager. Kylie McDaniel, ESPN, had 7/210. And a lot of them went to 10 years, and all of them right around like $30 million a year, a little over. So I like the Dodgers are like sort of making a push, right? And it makes sense. Like he's, you know, he's homegrown. He's been an excellent hitter. You know, you don't know if he's going to stick at shortstop, but like, it's hard. Their lineup is they're going to need some help this offseason. So like, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I still think like just because of Trey Turner and maybe I don't know. Like I sort of had pegged the Dodgers as sort of settling, not settling, yeah, settling, but sort of planning to sign Chris Taylor rather than Seager. Not that it's a one-to-one thing, because you could argue they need both, but like, and then sort of use the money difference in other ways, like pitching and stuff. But I don't know, like, it wouldn't surprise me if they still go after Seager. But that said, the overwhelming, We also did a True Blue LA readers poll, and I think 2/3 of the people picked the Yankees for Seager, and it seems like it's Dodgers or Yankees with him. And I think the Yankees are desperate enough for a shortstop. There are other shortstops in the market. That's the thing. Like, so, I am gonna say Yankees for Seager, and I will say, I don't know if it'll go to 10. It might, but I will say 8. I'll say 8/256.
I'm gonna say 7/126. And I'll
226, 126.
Hold on, math. Yeah. Like 31, a little under 31 a year. What's the math? 21, 216, right? 7 years, 216, right?
Yeah,
am I losing my mind here?
Nope, you got it.
Okay. And then I'll say Dodgers just so we have a little competition going on.
Mm-hmm. So you're up next on Kenley. This is Kenley Jansen, by the way.
For man, like...
right?
Dodgers, 2 years, 30.
Yeah,
which I'm now looking as one of the non-crowd sources fan graphs. I'm okay with that being dead on.
Yeah, it's also one of those things like, I was looking at the they have Trinan coming back. They have a good like core, but they have like Tommy Kahnle and Caleb Ferguson coming off Tommy John surgery. Expected to sort of contribute in some way. They have Vesia and Bickford and all those guys, but then relieving is so volatile. Even with Kenley, it's been volatile. But I do what, and like, he's also like less so than Kershaw, obviously, but still sort of the franchise in a way. Like, he's been with them for 17 years. So, and he's still like good, right? Like,
especially after last year.
Right, he had the high walk rate, but like he sort of turned that around down the stretch, and his pitch mix was really great. I could see. I hate as much as I want to be different for contest purposes. I think I'm going to also say Dodgers.
And it's saying if it's not the Dodgers, you're like, how on earth do you just pick?
Right. And so I'm going to go 340. No. 342 million dollars. No. Okay. So I have Chris Taylor. Since I did put Seager to the Yankees, I think the Dodgers will sign Taylor. So I'm going to go Taylor to the Dodgers. And I think I wrote about this earlier. We did a crowdsource, and it sort of came in line with what his averages are coming in. For that, I picked 4 years, $62 million. So that's what I'm going to go with here.
Thinking.
Yeah, so and just as a reminder, we'll link to these in the show notes, but one, two, three, four of the six predictions for Taylor from these national publications are 4 years, one's 3 years, one's 5 years. So his average out to 4 and 60 in these, and they're all kind of within that range for the most part.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thinking still. 5 years, $80 million, Dodgers.
Okay. Man, that I had flashbacks because that was actually Kenley's last contract. But then I was like, wait, we just did Kenley, and then okay, we're on Taylor. So you go first on Scherzer, and this is where we'll point out where that Jim Bowden was the outlier. 3 years, $150 million for Scherzer, which is insane. But yeah, everyone else had him the highest. Average annual value of everyone in this, but you know, not 50 million here, maybe high 30s or something like that.
It's you, right?
No, you're first on this one.
No, that's right. I tried to cheat. 100
with
Dodgers.
So you're. Just so you know, you're 5 for 5 in the Dodgers signing these people.
I didn't want to pick Seager. I want to make that very clear.
It's not bad, but like it's just, you know.
No.
It's hard. So, yeah, that seems. So we're recording this Wednesday morning. We're going to find out later this afternoon if Scherzer wins the Cy Young. Who knows? It's either him, Corbin Burns, or Zach Wheeler. But he's at worst third. But yeah, just very strong down the stretch. Obviously, in the playoffs, he ran out of gas. I think he gets 3 years. I think he'll go 3108. Okay. And I think the Angels will swoop on this one. They just signed Noah Syndergaard for 1 year and $21 million, and maybe that sort of they still need a lot of pitching. So I think that's what's going to happen there.
He's going to be really. We haven't had like an interesting World Series in a while, you know, or World Series. Offseason, sorry. Yeah. Basically World Series, right? Who cares about actual?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. You've been the biggest Padres fan the last last year. Okay, so I'm going first with Pujols, and I think he goes one last hurrah with all his buddies in St. Louis, and does like 1 year, $5 million.
I'm also picking St. Louis, but 1 year,
$37 million.
No, it's gonna be higher. $8 million.
Oh, I thought, wait, higher than 37.
Higher than you. Have, sorry,
you have Joe Kelly.
1 year, $8 million with the Diamondbacks.
Nice. Okay. I think here I will go with the Dodgers and say 2 for 12.
Okay.
Okay, so I have Knebel. So if they don't sign Scherzer, what does Knebel get? This feels bad. I just don't want to pick everyone to the Dodgers. So let's say, just for purposes, I'm going to say Knable to the Giants for 2 years and $13 million.
2 years. No. 3 years. Mm-hmm. 22 to the Padres.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there it is. You're the definitive.
Like we will no one will be wrong. Like we're all like one of us has it dead on in each case.
No, for no sure. Question. We clearly as a collective, it's going to be the average of all of our contracts. That's going to happen. Okay, so of these players, Kenley Jansen, Clayton Kershaw, Corey Seager are the three longest tenured Dodgers, or they were before they were free agents. They're not Dodgers right now. Who is the current longest tenured Dodger? And this is counted by signing date with the organization.
I will give that a guess after this. All right. Who is the longest tenured Dodger currently? It's not someone that's, you know, a free agent. So I have a question. Is this player different than the longest tenured major league Dodger?
Oh, well, let me check. I think so. Oh, it's definitely longer than the longest tenured major league Dodger.
Do you know who the longest tenured major league Dodger is?
I think it's Turner.
Okay, that was because that nugget was in my head, but I figured it was the major league one, and now I have to figure out the other course, and I'm not sure who I'm going to guess if it wasn't Justin Turner.
That was a genius way to get a hint, by the way.
I'm not good at trivia, but I'm good at cheating. So
yep, yep.
Right. Send me the Houston; it'll be great. Noted, not good at trivia. People in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I need another hint. I think.
No.
Oh man.
No. Let's see. Can I give you another hint?
Because everyone I'm coming up with, I'm like. I can't. I'm clearly blind spotting this. Basically,
it's
like,
a pitcher.
Okay,
that's the hint.
That's a good hint. All right, I just took an extended break because my brain froze, and I mentioned to you, Eric, when we switched to the every other week schedule, trivia gets so much harder because my brain is not primed to think of baseball. Urias.
So he's number two. I had thought in my head for a second that he was one, but then I remembered he wasn't, so I looked it up. Urias signed August 17th, 2012. July 2nd, 2012, the Dodgers signed another left-handed pitcher, Victor Gonzalez.
Wow. Right. Would have been really far down. And that's, like, I don't mind getting trivia wrong, but I'm like, I need at least a reasonable guess. And that's what, and I'm
should,
like,
I should have said... My hint was almost going to be left-handed pitcher. I should have just said that, honestly.
And I would have gotten to Urias like 20 seconds.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, and this is also rough just because of the last two off seasons. We've had questions like this in the past. And like I said, Turner was the major league one. I'm fairly sure. I'm not positive, though.
No.
But then, like, going to the
besides
well.
Besides those guys.
Yeah, going to the well was the three current free agents, and then Pedro Baez before that. So I'm like, man, I have no go-to names here. And I just had to, like, regurgitate the roster over that little, you know, it's like a minute break I took.
Yeah, you look like that. Like, Bellinger was a 2013 draftee, and, like, in terms of that. But, yeah, so it's interesting. When you asked me, I was like, wait. Because in my head, because Urias was 2016 debut, mm-hmm. and I was like, wait, is he also the major league dean? But then I was like, oh, nope, Justin Turner, I forgot. So, yeah, exactly. All right, good stuff.
Man. Well, it was fun looking back and remembering currently is on the Dodgers. But you know what? I think you're going to help us look back a little further behind.
Yep. So not exactly an anniversary, more probably more for the next episode-ish, but this month, 30 years ago, the Dodgers made a pretty big trade. They sent Tim Belcher and John Wetland to the Reds. They got Eric Davis and Kip Gross. I was thinking about doing like Eric Davis for this. Then I was like, no, like he's too famous. We'll do him at some point, but he's one of my favorite just players generally. He was so good, just the quintessential power speed guy. He had this stretch of like, I can't remember if it was between 85 and 86 or 86 and 87. Thing is, Davis was always hurt, but he had a stretch of his own 162 games played. So, and keep in mind that there were some time missed in there, but his personal stats for those 162 games was like, I believe it was 48 home runs and 96 steals because he was ridiculous. But it's not Eric Davis. It's Kip Gross. He was a 27-year-old pitcher at the time. He had 110 ERA plus in his first 2 years with the Reds. Mostly a reliever, but he was a starter in the minors. There was concern at the time because it was, again, the offseason and stuff wasn't, you know, completed yet, but the Dodgers didn't have enough pitching. So Oral Hershiser and Mike Morgan were free agents. They were unsigned at the time. Belcher, you know, came up in 1988, excuse me. He led the 1991 Dodgers in ERA. It was 2.62 in 209 innings. This was a quality burn from Steve Bischoff in the Orange County Register on November 29th after the trade with the Reds. After Ramon Martinez, Bob Ojeda, and Kevin Gross, what would you have left? A lot of empty innings staring you in the face, that's what. The new kid, Kip Gross, could team with his namesake Kevin on a pitching staff that would appear, well, gross is a pretty good word, come to think of it. Steve Bischoff, quality bird in the Orange County Register.
Not nice. Not nice.
Nope. Hershiser did end up re-signing. And then they didn't re-sign Mike Morgan, but they did sign Tom Candiotti, and he was pretty good. I will say the Dodgers in 1982 did have a staff ERA of 100 and ERA plus of 102. You know,
102 ERA is pretty bad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was really bad. But it was down from 117 the year before, so like not as quality. But the offense was really what did them in. They had an 80, didn't have an ERA plus. They had an OPS plus. They had an 86 OPS plus, which is just terrible. Eric Davis was part of that. Daryl Strawberry. It was I had the triple threat outfield poster on my wall. Eric Davis, Los Angeles native coming home, along with Los Angeles native Daryl Strawberry. Then they also had Brett Butler in center field. It was a perfect outfield, and they were bad. Not Butler, but just as a team. That's only one of two Dodgers since joining the National League in 1890 to finish in last place. They lost 99 games the other time, 1905. So, but Kip Gross was mostly fine. He didn't pitch a ton, but he had a 2.79 ERA, which is a 1.32 ERA plus in his 2 years with the Dodgers, 2.94 FIP. It was only 26 games, just under 39 innings. He only made one start in 2 years with the Dodgers. Now, this was an interesting time. This was July 6th, 1992. It was against the Expos at home, first game of a doubleheader. Now, this was the making up of games that were postponed during the LA riots in April that year. There were four games, one against the Phillies, three against the Expos. So they had to make those up, four doubleheaders in a six-day span. In July, this was the first of three straight against the Expos. Just a brutal series, six games in 3 days. Kip Gross called up from Albuquerque to start the opener. He allowed three runs in six innings, got the win in an 8-3 game, and then sent back down in between games of the doubleheader. He was also 2-for-2 at the plate with an RBI single and a sacrifice bunt. Those were his only times at bat with the Dodgers. He's one of three Dodgers with a 1,000 batting average in at least three plate appearances. The other two are an outfielder, Pete Browning in 1894, and a pitcher, Chet Keen, K-E-H-N. I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce that. Both were 2-for-2. Both of those guys also walked. He was sent down after the game to make room for Daryl Strawberry, who was coming off the then DL. This is from Bill Plaschke's game story. I love that the game story, the headline for that game noted that Kip Gross made $824 for his 1 day of service in the majors before coming back. But he drove back to Albuquerque during the second game in a compact pickup truck he bought from teammate Dave Hansen. This is from the Plaschke story. Gross, the win was the main thing, but getting the truck was a big bonus. So I thought that was hilarious. So in November 1992, the Dodgers traded pitcher Rudy Cienez, also future Dodger, to the expansion Rockies for second baseman Jody Reed. But in March of 1993, Cienez was still dealing with like a sore right shoulder, and he had barely thrown, and the Rockies were like complaining. And they took the dispute to the National League president, Bill White. They were asking the Dodgers to send them a different player, and wire services during that spring mentioned the player was possibly Kip Gross. But Colorado lost the grievance. Cienez didn't pitch in 1993. He ended up getting released and then going to the Padres, and then worked his way all over the majors for like 15 years or something. Like it was a long career. But in 94, opening day, Darren Dreifert and Chan Ho Park, they were both rookies. They made the Dodgers 1994 opening day roster. To make room, Rick Trilcheck, pitcher, was claimed by the Red Sox, and then Kip Gross was sent outright to AAA, booting him off the 40-man roster. In May that year, they sold Kip Gross to the Nippon Ham Fighters in Japan. He put up a 3.60 ERA in five seasons. He led the Pacific League in wins in 95 and 96. He came back to play in the majors in 99 with the Red Sox and 2000 with the Astros, just sort of limited time with both. In his career, 3.90 ERA, 102 ERA plus, only 147 and two-thirds innings in six total seasons in the majors. Reds, Dodgers, Red Sox, Astros. Now, speaking of that Steve Bischoff line, in 1992 and 1993, when they were teammates with the Dodgers, Kevin Gross started 62 games for the Dodgers. Kip Gross pitched 25 times in relief. My question for you, Jacob, is how many times did they pitch in the same game with L.A.?
11.
Holy crap. Okay, that's a lot. The range of response times from you in trivia questions in this episode
just,
is
with these number amazing. Questions, I'm just like, nope.
Yep. Yeah, just no thinking about it. So it was only three.
11.
August. Yeah, August 12th, 1993. August 12th, 92. September 15th and 22nd of 93, Kevin Gross, six innings and seven, and then 1-2-1 for Kip in relief. He was the first reliever in to follow Kevin Gross in all three games. So that's my Kip Gross story for you.
And I have for you and for our listeners, time for
Questions from Crit.
First up is trivia questions, and it's MLB Awards Week, so that will be the themes for the trivia questions for you. First one up. Corey Seager currently ranks 18th in career BWAR as an LA Dodger, which is 58 to current. Can Eric name the three other Rookie of the Years to have higher BWAR as an LA Dodger? Note, one of the players did not win the Rookie of the Year as an LA Dodger.
So the non-LA Dodger, I'm just going to guess, is Jim Gilliam.
I'm checking here for you real quick, getting the answers brought up. That is correct.
Okay, so then three other. So, let's think here. Wow. So I think Seager's WAR is like, is he? Oh man, I can't remember. I think he's like, I want to say 21, but I might not be right.
21.3. I'll let you know.
Okay. Okay. So Piazza,
Number one with a 32 WAR in 726 games.
This is harder than I expected. And then Fernando.
Nope.
Oh, is it just, is it just position players then?
I do not know, but that would be my, yeah. That would be my assumption.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. The chart is position WAR.
Okay. So, well, that in that case, no. Okay. So I'm torn here. I just don't know if I'll just guess because of the decent longevity, but I don't think he got there. But I'm gonna say Eric Karros.
Raul Mondesi at 21.6.
Wow. Just okay. Above. I was almost thinking of Steve Sachs too, but like, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Nice. Five LA Dodger starting pitchers have won a combined total of 9 Cy Young Awards since 1962. They are also 5 of the top 6 LA Dodgers starting pitchers in career BWAR as an LA Dodger. My question for Eric is, can he tell us where these pitchers, including the one that did not win a Cy Young, rank behind LA Dodger franchise leader Clayton Kershaw?
Okay, so I believe the one who didn't win the Cy Young is second, Don Sutton.
He is fourth.
Fourth, okay. Mm-hmm. So
with 50.5.
Okay. All right. Just thinking here. Longevity. So, I'm going to say Hershiser's sixth.
Fifth.
He's fifth. Okay. So now it's a matter of where to slot. So, Drysdale's second then.
Yep, 53.6.
Then I will say Koufax is third.
51.2.
And so then Fernando has to be sixth.
At 33. There you go. Baseball Reference has a stat where they aggregate the award shares for MVP and Cy Young award votes. As an example, Kershaw ranks fourth all-time with 4.58 award shares because not only did he win 3 Cy Young awards, he picked up votes in 9 seasons since 2011. Here's my question. There are only 3 players that have at least 3.06 MVP award shares without winning an MVP. Each of them received MVP votes as an LA Dodger at least once in their career. Can Eric name these players?
Oh, God. So, Piazza.
With 3.16 award shares.
All right. Let's say... This is a good question. I'm trying to think here. Eddie Murray.
Eddie Murray leads with 3.33.
Mm-hmm. Should have 20, but let's see. oh boy.
The other name is really interesting.
Yeah, I think. What about Manny Ramirez?
There you go. Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, what a weird year to get the MVP vote. Not necessarily undeservedly, but right. There you go. 3.06 for him. Final question. In the 2000s, you can fill a lineup out with Dodgers who won Silver Sluggers at their defensive position. Note, I am taking some license because there has not been a Dodger who primarily played left field, but there are four different outfielders to choose from. Can Eric pick these players to fill out his lineup, including the pitcher?
So I think, I believe, Zach Greinke is the pitcher.
You are correct.
In the 2000s.
And I think that just means this century. So don't, right. Not just the aughts, to clarify.
Right.
Yep,
right.
Just one nature.
So I was trying to think of, like, I guess, I believe the catcher would be Yasmani Grandal.
Incorrect.
Is it Paul LaDuca?
It is not.
It's Russell Martin.
There you go. It is, yeah. Russell Martin.
Yeah, because he won Silver Slugger and Gold Glove. First base, pretty sure is Adrian Gonzalez.
You are correct.
Silver Slugger, will go. Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger. And then, I'm gonna come back to the outfield. Okay. Third base, Adrian Beltre.
Yep.
Shortstop, Corey Seager.
Yep.
Second baseman, Jeff Kent.
You are correct. An 05.
So I need the other two outfielders.
Well, in theory, you could just give me one. You've got a...
Sean Green.
No.
No. Andre Ethier.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. What? And who's the other one?
Winning twice is Matt Kemp.
Matt Kemp. Yep. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
There you go. Well done. You did good. You did really good. Mm-hmm. He says self-assuredly. Eric wrote about the 11-member Dodger free class agent class here, now 12, as we've talked about. This week, let's go with the five free agents of note that Eric covered. We already did this.
Yeah.
Craig clearly does not get the show notes. Yeah. He basically asked us to play the contract game. We could do it again. And you know what? I would not repeat any of my guesses. Team, I probably would. But I bet I would not. It'd be completely different. So. Another for the contest, using MLB Trade Rumors free agent list because it is accessible to everyone. Will any of their top 10 free agents sign before the potential lockdown in 2 weeks? And so he notes that Eduardo Rodriguez is the first in the top 20 to sign a deal so far.
He signed with the Tigers. So the list, top 10, Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, Freddie Freeman, Chris Bryant, Kevin Gausman, Marcus Semien, Robbie Ray, Trevor Story, Max Scherzer, and Nick Castellanos. I think Freddie Freeman will sign with the Braves. And I don't know. This is difficult. I think that's it. That's all I'm going with.
Kevin Gausman is going to sign with the Giants. That's going to be the first one, and I don't know anything else. That's what you get from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. All right. Here's a career comp between two players that are on the Golden Days era Hall of Fame ballot that could elect new Hall of Famers in the summer. Do any of these numbers suggest Hall of Fames? This is a lot of numbers to go over. Do you have them up? You want me to just...
No, it's not showing the numbers.
Well, I'll give you some traditional stats. We've got 351 home runs, 1,119 RBIs, slash line of 292, 378, 534, with an OPS plus of 156.
So... Yeah, so Dick Allen is a pretty clear, like, Hall of Famer for me as a player. Just full stop. So I think he should be in the Hall of Fame as a player. Gil Hodges to me.
I'll just real quick, 370 home runs, slash line of 273, yeah. 359, 487, OPS plus of 120.
Right.
1,200 RBIs. 1,274.
Even if he falls short as a player, which he might, he probably does. I think this is where the Hall of Fame should have like a catch-all, like total baseball life, like Dusty Baker. He qualifies solely as a manager, I think, by now. But like there's Joe Torre did for a while too. I think if you combine like playing career and managerial career, like that's like total baseball life. So I think Hodges should be in that regard. So yeah, I don't know. I think both should be in, but I think it's going to be tough for Hodges. And who knows? Like it's a 16 player or 16 person committee. You need 12 votes. It's really hard to figure out what direction they're going to go in. But yeah, I think both have legitimate cases for the Hall of Fame.
Team Big Hall. And a special guest to help answer the last question. My daughter woke up from her nap early. So here we go. So this
She's
week...
She's the yeah. best guest we've ever had.
Sorry, John. But she can't talk. So, but if you hear babbling, that's what that is. It's not Eric. So this week,
it's usually me.
I am in New York, and I am reminded of my first trip many, many, many years ago. One of the food items I had to have was a hot dog from a sidewalk cart. This week's food question: do you recall the first time you bought food out on the street? Maybe the ice cream truck, a hot dog, or pretzel cart, or perhaps it was later with street tacos.
Wow. I the first time buying food from the street, I think has to be an ice cream truck.
Has to be.
Other than that, like there was a local like juice outlet in Palm Springs called E-Pels. It was like frozen lemonade and orange juice, and it was really, really good. And they had a truck that would go around and like that same thing. Like if that came around, it was go time. But then also after that, I would say it's probably, man, it might be like, I think the first time because it really hasn't happened much out here. But when I went to Baltimore, went to Camden Yards in 1994 for the first time, and there were people selling like, hot peanuts like outside the stadium, and I bought it from there, and those were really, really good. So maybe that, but yeah, that's kind of, and then like to this day, like there's still right outside one of the gas stations on Sunset near Dodger Stadium. Occasionally after a game, that's a nice go-to spot to get a hot dog, just randomly.
Bacon wrapped.
It is bacon wrapped. Yeah.
The goat hot dog, the best. Yeah, that's actually, I think my, you know, as a kid, you know, with not my money and not of my agency, it's certainly, you know,
sure.
Ice cream truck. I remember getting a hot dog in New York. I remember getting a Yoo-hoo with that hot dog. Ooh. You know, special treat. Pretzels as well, but I think an LA street dog was the first time I like, you know what, I'm gonna buy this hot dog because it sounds really good. Oh, it's two for $5. I'll buy two hot dogs then. Thank you very much.
Yeah, feel like a king.
And I did. Well, there we go.
I think we're gonna go out and buy some street food and enjoy the rest of our day. We'll be back in a couple weeks, possibly previewing a lockout. Who knows? Maybe we'll have more signings to talk about. Maybe not. We'll figure it out by then. But thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you then. Thanks.